With the 20th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game. Let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA. I'm pleased to be joined, as always, by Fran Duffy, as we're going to preview the final day of position drills at the NFL Scouting Combine, taking place at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis.
Chris, it's our final day in Indianapolis. It was another really successful trip. I'm excited to be back in Philadelphia, but a little sad to see Indianapolis go. We've been here for about a week. It's always a great time. But I am very, very happy to be going home.
I miss the wife. I miss the kids.
Absolutely.
Miss the dog. You know, just I need my own bed.
Yeah, no question about it.
So with that being said, we're going to transition first and foremost into our Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, kicking off our Draft Buzz, we're going to talk about Washington versatile player, the Paul Hornung Award winner, Shaq Thompson, who declared at the NFL Scouting Combine that I am not a safety. He didn't quite say it in that exact terms, but he basically wants teams to know that he wants to play inside linebacker at the next level, compared himself to Levante David, that type of player. But he was ranked number two as a number two safety by Mike Mayock. And Mike Mayock said, look, I would expect him to express, you know, how he wants to play and how where he sees himself. But at the same time, you know, when you evaluate the tape, that's where I see him. And you can't just look at it through the prism of he's only going to be a safety, where the sub packages are utilized so often now in the NFL that basically you just have a guy who's going to be on the field for all three downs. Who really cares where he's lining up at?
Yeah, no question about it. And Mike brought up the perfect analogy. You look at a guy out of Washington State last year, Deion Buchanan, who was drafted in the first round by the Arizona Cardinals. I wasn't the biggest fan of Buchanan, but I thought that they used him in the perfect way that made him successful. Credit to Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles for putting him in the best position to succeed, because you know they kept him near the line of scrimmage on. I don't have the exact percentage, but I would guess close to 90% of the snaps he was playing as a linebacker pretty much. And, Thompson, in a similar role, if you can list him as a strong safety, regardless, he's going to be playing near the line of scrimmage. You can look at another guy on the Cardinals, and this is obviously a different position, but, you look at the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, also listed as a safety, but more often than not, he's playing in the slot, and that's the position where many people imagine that he would play coming out of LSU.
Do you think Shaq Thompson is a first-round pick?
Me personally, and I do, he's one of these guys that I do have to do a lot more work on, especially comparing him to some of the other linebackers. I personally see him as a linebacker ultimately. But, when I watched him, I saw a guy that flashed the ability to play very, very instinctively, but didn't do it consistently enough. I think he's right now at this point, I think he's a little bit better athlete than he is football player. But I still have to do a lot more work on him.
Okay, next up, cornerback Ifo Ekpre-Olomou from Oregon announced that he expects to be able to return from a late-season ACL tear around September. So he's not going to be able to do OTAs, can't do training camp or preseason. He even said, look, I'm going to have to get the mental reps and just work at the mental aspect as much as I can during the time that he's out. Now, obviously, from Oregon, a lot of people want to think that the Eagles are going to target Oregon players, but he doesn't fit the scheme at 5'9", in my estimation.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I think if you're going to draft him, he's going to play inside, and not just for the Eagles. I would imagine that would be the case for most teams, and he did that a lot at Oregon. They moved him all over the place. He did play some outside, but you saw him on the inside in the slot a lot, even some reps back at safety. So a very, very interesting guy. It's a shame that, middle of December, preparing for the playoff game in practice, tore his ACL. So, it's just one of those things, unfortunately, that happened. But, look, he'll be back in the beginning of the season, and whoever gets him, I think he's going to get a very good player.
If he was fully healthy, maybe we'll say it's for the Fran versus Machine part.
Okay.
We're going to get to that in a second. So we're going to look at Fran's top five rankings of the cornerbacks and the safeties. The last item, Marcus Peters from Washington, He was named to NFL.com's midseason All-America team, still ended up leading Washington in interceptions for the season despite being dismissed for the program for numerous incidents. It was just basically altercations with coaches. There was a report that he allegedly choked a coach, which Peters said was false. And I guess one good sign for Peters, who is extremely talented, but you have to look at these off-the-field issues with a number of big-time prospects in this year's draft class. A positive sign for Peters is the fact that he is being allowed to work out at Washington's pro day. So if Washington was, you know, that against Peters and what he did, I'm sure they would not allow him back on the campus. They did allow him to keep his scholarship, but they wouldn't allow him back, I guess, in the football facility to do this.
And that's a very, very good point because, you know, I have been around coaches and know kind of, you know, have an idea how some of them think. If he was
At Temple, so yes. You were the video director at Temple, so for people that don't know that.
Yeah, so, if, you know, knowing how some of those guys think, you know, I would have been surprised if they were so dead set against him to allow him to come back and work out at the pro day. So that's a very good point. And just listening to the guy talk, he didn't come off to me. And look, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a behavioral analyst or, you know, anything like that. You know, otherwise I'd be working for the FBI or something. But, you know, came off to me as a guy that maybe was just a bit immature, made some bad decisions, not necessarily an awful guy. So, you know, we'll see. I think it'll come down to a team-by-team thing.
Exactly. So now we're going to get to our Fran versus the Machine, where Fran has compiled his top five rankings, and we're previewing the defensive back drills. So looking at the cornerbacks and the safeties, and we're comparing his rankings to those of other draft analysts. We did a compilation of Mike Mayock, Mel Kiper from ESPN, Josh Norris from RotoWorld, and Joel Klatt from Fox Sports. So the consensus rankings, the top five for the cornerbacks, number one, Trey Waynes, Michigan State. Number two, the aforementioned Marcus Peters of Washington. Number three, P.J. Williams from Florida State. Number four, from LSU, Jalen Collins. And number five, this player is so good that he's arguably the top receiver prospect and cornerback prospect. Just kidding, Kevin White, the other Kevin White, and from Texas Christian. And actually, during his press conference at the Combine, Kevin White did have some fun with the fact that, you know, people would ask him, who is he? I'm Kevin White. No, you can't be Kevin White. That's the receiver, so.
Yeah, he said that when he came in to get his credential, they said, oh, you already got your credential.
Yes.
He said, no. You already checked in your room. No, I didn't. You know, he had some fun with it. And look, the game that those two faced off against each other, I thought the TCU Kevin White – came away, you know, I don't want to say the victor, but he showed very, very well in that game. So Kevin White's a guy I like. He didn't make my top five, though.
No, he did not. So Trey Waynes, you have as number one. Marcus Peters at number two. P.J. Williams at number three.
Stuck to the script there.
Eric Rowe at number four. And then the aforementioned, talking about his injury, Ekpre Olomu at number five.
Yeah, and Rowe is a guy that when I first watched him, I mean, over 6 foot, 204 pounds, reportedly may run in the 4.5s. We're going to have an idea tomorrow when those guys take the field at Lucas Oil, but has long arms, has ability to play corner, has ability to play safety. We saw him play both down in Mobile, had great production on the ball, was a very reliable tackler, was very, very experienced on the back end. But when you watch him, a guy that size move like he did, I was very, very impressed. I wish that we got to see a little bit more of Rowe at corner down in Mobile, but a guy that I'm very, very high on. I think Rowe has the ability to be an early starter for a team that likes those longer corners. Ekpre Olomu is a guy, look, I think if he were fully healthy, and you started to ask me this question,
yes.
I think if he were fully healthy, I don't think he would have been a first-round pick, but he may have gone in the second or third round. You know, a lot of teams think, or a lot of people think that, you know, he could play mostly in the slot. Look, if you're an off-coverage team, and it's rare now that teams don't play, you know, rarely play press, but if you are a team that utilizes off-coverage and don't mind a smaller corner, especially if he can be physical like Ekpre Olomu can be, you know, can he be an Aaron Glenn, who is a very productive corner for years in the NFL, mostly for the New York Jets? You know, I don't know. I think I really like the way he played, always around the ball, has a great nose for the football. He's athletic. He's quick. It has good ball skills, a good tackler. I like what he brings to the table.
All right, let's transition to the safeties. Landon Collins, the unanimous number one selection from Alabama. Number two, the consensus number two, Deron Smith from Fresno State. Number three, Philly native Ibrahim Campbell from Northwestern, one of 11 children, believe it or not. Number four, a tie between Cody Pruitt and Chris Hackett from Texas Christian.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that the one guy that, you know, that I have pretty high on my list didn't make this, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But you look at the rest of this list. Durant Smith is a guy. It's a shame that he couldn't play in the Senior Bowl because when I watched him a year ago, I thought he was one of the best senior safeties. I thought he backed that up. I thought he improved even going into 2014. I think he was relied on to play a little bit more in man coverage. His physical limitations are the question, though. He's under 5'10". He's under 200 pounds. So those, I think overall he's not going to be a first-round pick. So that's what you're looking at with him. Ibrahim Campbell, I've talked about him in the past. And it's not just because I was his camp counselor growing up, but I think he might be the best tackling defensive back in this entire draft. I really like Ibrahim Campbell and the way he plays the game.
You were his camp counselor.
That's right. Taught him how to play kickball. He knew me when I was really good at basketball. Good hooper. Didn't know that.
No, did not. You're saying I taught him how to play kickball. You should have said I taught him to play football. That's a reason that
I'm not going to take all the credit. Him and his brother were both very, very good athletes growing up, and they were one of the reasons why we were back-to-back-to-back kickball, basketball, football champions. So
look at that.
Could have been the coaching, too.
Do you have a trophy? A ring?
It's all
rings,
pride.
It's all pride. There you go. Your rankings, you have Collins at number one, Curtis Drummond from Michigan State at number two. You have Durant Smith at number three, Campbell at four, and then from Stanford, Jordan Richards.
Yeah,
your top five.
And Drummond's a guy at over 6 foot, 205 pounds. The way that he plays, and I know that obviously this guy didn't play the safety position in college, and it took a move to the NFL for him to make the transition. But he reminds me a bit of Malcolm Jenkins in the way that he moves. Obviously the Eagles safety. The big question with him: how good of a tackler is he running downhill? And some have questioned that with Jenkins in the past, even though I thought he did a good job last season with the Eagles in that regard. And then just the consistency on the back end. There were some big plays that he gave up. They play a lot of quarters coverage at Michigan State. So there were some big plays over the top. You saw the bowl game against Baylor in that shootout. There were a lot of big plays there. So that's going to be the big question with Drummond. And then Jordan Richards, a guy very much like Durant Smith. The size is going to hold him back a little bit. He's under 6 foot. He's a little bit over 200 pounds. He's probably a step below what you would want athletically in all those different areas, but I think he does everything really, really well. Just nothing, not great at any one thing. I like Jordan Richards, though.
Can we drop a little outcast? I like the way you move. Before we're talking about certain players moving forward.
It was in the cab the other night, so maybe that's why it's on your mind.
Maybe that's why it's stuck in my head. Yes, it is also one of the songs on my permanent playlist, also as well.
There you go.
A little did you know there. So we're going to transition to our Mr. Relevant. We bring in a special guest every podcast to, talk about some big picture topics. Well, here we're going to have Tony Pauline, our good friend from DraftInsider.net, at Tony Pauline on Twitter. He is breaking news left and right from the NFL Scouting Combine, so he is definitely a must-follow for you draft fans out there. But he's going to list some players who could help their cause greatly here by performing well during the drills at the NFL Scouting Combine.
It's time for Mr. Relevant.
We're pleased to be joined here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com by NFL draft expert from DraftInsider.net, the none other than Tony Pauline. And Tony, we're going to talk about the defensive backs. Eagles fans always want to know more and more about the corners and safeties in this year's draft class. So we're going to look at a couple guys who are expected to test well here at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. And let's go to... it's in the ACC. It's not exactly a powerhouse. Wake Forest cornerback Kevin Johnson.
A guy I think people are sleeping on. I think he's going to, like you said, he's going to test well here. But if you watch the film, he is a fierce shutdown cornerback. I'm surprised he's not getting more talk as far as a top 40 pick. He's got excellent size. He's got excellent ball skills. He lays it on the line. He's not afraid to come up the field and hit people. Want to see what his 40 time is. I think it's going to be pretty good, and that will translate to a much earlier draft grade than people are presently predicting for Johnson.
Let's stay in the conference. One of the best defenses in the country produced
Andrews, this cornerback, Ronald Darby, yeah, from Florida State. I know his teammate is the one who's getting most of the hype in the pre-draft process, but you think Darby can help his stock here in Indy?
Darby's a very good cornerback. I mean, he may not have the athleticism or the size of P.J. Williams, but he's someone who doesn't have a lot of mental breakdowns. He's someone with excellent cover skills. He's someone who I think can play in zone or can play backed off the line of scrimmage. And I guess P.J. Williams getting all the headlines, which makes Darby a bit of a sleeper, but don't sleep on him too much, because I believe, just like Kevin Johnson, he's a guy that's got starting potential at the next level.
All right, let's go to a school that, you know, most college football fans may not recognize as much, UConn, and Byron Jones. How do you think that he's going to do here?
Well, Byron Jones is a guy who was highly rated, suffered a shoulder injury during the year, had labrum surgery in November so he could perform here. He's big. He's over 6 foot, which is what NFL teams want. He's physical. He's got good instincts. It's just a matter of tomorrow, you know, how does he run the 40? If he gets in that 4-4 range, all of a sudden he goes from being a late-round pick to jumping into the middle rounds, considering the need at cornerback and really what the thing class at the cornerback for the 2015 draft.
All right, Tony, let's go to the safety position. And it's not really known as a strong class this year, so one player in mind, Chris Hackett from Texas Christian, is someone who really can – help himself here and really kind of get himself up into the earlier rounds.
My favorite safety. In my mind, the most complete safety in this year's draft.
My favorite safety, talking about Landon Collins, Gerard Holloman, any James Sample?
I think down the road he's going to be a better NFL starter than Collins. He doesn't have the Collins size, but he's faster. He's got better sideline to sideline range. He's got better ball skills. You can put him over the slot receiver, and he's not going to be a liability. He's fast and fierce against the rush. He's not as big a hitter as Landon Collins, but I don't think he's as much of a liability in deep coverage or getting out to the flanks to help the cornerbacks as opposed to Collins. He's a little bit smaller, but hey, look, how many smaller safeties have done very well in the NFL because they're three down players. They can go sideline to sideline in center field, play over the slot receiver. You can play him in zone. You can play him in man. He's got that sort of versatility.
So can we bring back up the tape here in a couple years when Hackett is the best safety from this draft class, and then we'll give you your props?
I will have my agent demand it when I want to raise. So, yes, that's true.
Becoming a prima donna, Tony Pauline, the best in the business, joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Now it's time for Pick 6.
Special thanks to Tony for joining us here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. So we have a couple other interviews, some one-on-one interviews with some defensive backs that we're going to save for a little bit later in the show. But next up here in our pick six, so we are going with, sticking with the defensive back theme, six defensive backs who will fit the versatile profile that the Eagles are looking for. Should be noted, we're not using the players in the consensus top five.
That's right.
And Fran, why don't you start things off?
I'll be a gentleman. All right, thank you. I'm going to go with Damian Swan, the corner from Georgia, 6 foot, 180 pounds, a guy that I got a chance to talk to in depth for a while today. Played a number of different spots there for Georgia, played on the boundary, played in the slot, played as a dime linebacker, so he's got a ton of positional versatility. He said that he loves playing inside close to the line of scrimmage because he loves the physical aspect of the game. I really enjoyed my conversation with Swan, and I think I'm higher on him than most. I really like Swan and what he brings to the table. I thought he had a good week at the East-West Shrine Game.
I don't know if Swans can fly, but one player who can, Quinton Rollins from Miami of Ohio, a former hoop star who transitioned to the football field, runs very well, 5'11", 193 pounds. You know, is he a corner? Is he a safety? Not quite sure. But look, he has the ability to play in either position group.
Yeah, and I'm just going to answer this. Swans can fly. So we'll just going to throw that
there
out there.
There we go.
My next guy is going to be Ladarius Gunter, a guy from the University of Miami. We saw him at the Senior Bowl, over 6'1", 200-plus pounds. He doesn't have great long speed, but a guy that shows the ability to play at the line of scrimmage both as a run defender and as a press corner. I thought he did a really good job in practice at the Senior Bowl in that kind of a role, but they moved him all over the place at Miami. You know, he was very, very tough to watch on tape because you never know where he was going to be. He played to the field. He played to the boundary. He played at left corner, right corner. He played in the slot. He played at safety. They lined him up almost as a stacked linebacker at times. He was all over the place. Gunter was a fun player to watch.
All right, number two on my list here from Penn State, famous Adrian Amos, 6 foot, 214 pounds. Sort of like he was utilized the way that Malcolm Jenkins is used for the Eagles, played safety, but he could play the slot in the nickel sub package. could play both man and zone coverages as well. So I'll go with Adrian Amos as my number two guy.
That's a pretty interesting one. Amos has an interesting skill set. I'm going to go with a guy here, my last corner of this group. Greg Henderson out of Colorado didn't get a combine invite, which I was surprised about, but a four-year starter. He started 44 games there for Colorado, had 41 ball disruptions in his career, which is a very good number. But look, he's on the lighter side. He was listed at 181 pounds, but he's 5'10 and a half, showed the ability to play all three cornerback spots, played press, played off, played man, played zone. I thought he's a very fluid guy. He was a pretty good tackler for that size. I really like what Henderson brings to the table.
All right, number three, Ronald Darby from Florida State, 5'11", 195 pounds, played both off and press coverage, played in the slot, an all-world sprinter.
Yeah, Darby's a guy that's very, very interesting. I think tomorrow he'll be one of the guys I think that will star in field drills, because I think he's got that fluid athleticism that'll let him shine in the athletic portion of the day. I'm going to go with the guy, Demarius Randall. We saw him down at the Senior Bowl. He's from Arizona State. Kind of similar to Adrian Amos in the role that he can play because of his ability to play over the slot. He plays to the field. He plays to the boundary. He's a little bit on the smaller side of 5'10 and a half, 195 pounds. But overall, with his athleticism, he's got the ability to play a number of different roles for a defense.
All right, next up, cornerback Quandre Diggs from Texas. Look, on the smaller side, 5'9", 196 pounds, but he did play on the outside for the Longhorns, also played inside, a four-year starter. Definitely have the speed to run with receivers. He's instinctive. The only knock for him from the Eagles' standpoint would be the 5'9 height.
Yeah, and that's going to be the big question with him. And we'll see. He talked about how he's kind of has a chip on his shoulder.
Who doesn't have a chip on their shoulder? You have a chip on your shoulder because you didn't win the fourth consecutive kickball championship with Ibrahim Campbell.
Well, no, that's not. I don't have a chip on my shoulder for that. I have a chip on my shoulder that I didn't get a trophy, because now I have guys like you calling me out for not having a trophy years later. But the next guy on my list is Kyshawn Jarrett out of Virginia Tech, 5'10 and a half, just under 190 pounds, a little bit on the lighter side. Was a good punt returner for the Hokies, played special teams, was a four-year starter, started 37 games in his career, lined up at both safety spots, lined up near the line of scrimmage. Very instinctive player. I thought he's kind of flying under the radar right now. I'll be interested to see how Jarrett tests tomorrow in a number of different areas.
All right, next up, out of Virginia, Anthony Harris, safety, 6 feet even, 190 pounds, experience in both man and zone coverages. We're looking here for guys who, Eagles want the versatile skill set. He's someone who would fit that bill.
Yeah, no question about it. And Harris is a guy that I think a lot of people like. So, I think he's, when you talk about those consensus top fives, I think Harris is probably just on the outside looking in there. So I think he's probably the next man in. To close it out here, Amon Claiborne, Northwestern State. We saw him at the Senior Bowl. For a guy at 5'9 and a half, I thought he did a pretty good job in press coverage drills. Can lined up at left corner, right corner, and in the slot for Northwestern State. Played in press, played in off. Just shows the ability to be a versatile player. I like what Claiborne can do. And really, I was very, very surprised to see he didn't get a combine invite.
We're sticking with the Rebel non-combine invites here. Fritz Etienne from Memphis, 6'1", 215 pounds. Bigger safety, likes to run and hit. You got to see him. I haven't really seen much of him. You got to see him at the East-West Shrine game. But again, sadly, did not get an invite to the combine.
Yeah, and I know Bo Wolf was very, very upset that he didn't get the invite.
All right, so we're going to speak of another interception ball hawk machine who plays a safety position, Chris Hackett from Texas Christian. Look, TCU didn't get invited to the first ever college football playoff. What could have happened if the Horned Frogs made the tournament?
The unofficial visit.
We're pleased to be joined here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com now by former Texas Christian safety Chris Hackett. So Chris, you're a native of Tyler, Texas. Talk about the decision to stay in your home state of Texas to go to TCU.
I'm a big family man. So when I made my decision to go to Texas Christian University, I knew I didn't want to go too far because I know my family, I care about my family a lot, and I know they're passionate about me as well as I'm passionate about football. So my parents didn't miss a game. In my whole college career, they didn't miss a game, a home game at that. And when I visit TCU, man, it felt like home. Like, it felt like I was coming from Juntala, from where I went to high school, going into another, you know, a bigger upstage high school, from where, you know, the coaches just made me feel like I was at home.
So what would it be like to possibly end up in a city like Philadelphia where you would not be in Texas for the first time in your life?
I wouldn't be in Texas for the first time in my life, but times like this, you have to experience things, and I think it'll be great for me, you know, to get outside of Texas or you know, anywhere else. Plus, I wouldn't be the only person in from Texas down there. I know it's a couple guys from Texas, and also somebody that went to TCU, like Matthew Tucker. So I'm very close with him also. So that would be fun.
So, Chris, you did have a year of eligibility remaining. Why did you decide to come out? I know it's always a tough decision for guys to make that leap, you know, to stay in college or go to the pros.
I decided to forego my senior year because I felt like I was the best safety coming out in this draft. And I felt like it was the best thing for me and my family to do. And I've been a three-year starter, and I felt like I was developed enough, you know, to see what I could do in the NFL.
Ever wonder what it'd be like to be on the offensive side? Obviously, a ball hawk. You have the great instincts there. Ever wonder what it'd be like to take those skills to the other
side? I've played receiver in high school and things like this, so I kind of have the feel of it. I would have liked to play it in college, but safety did wonders for me, so I'm pretty pleased with it.
Do you think that might have helped you from a defensive back standpoint? Is that having played receiver, you understand what's going through the mind, you understand the route concept, what the receiver is trying to do, how it's trying to set things up. Do you think that helped you there?
I think being an athlete is, you know, it's wonderful. I mean, you have it helps you. I think it helps you as being a DB, just like Patrick Peterson, Richard Sherman. You know, they play receiver also. So just taking that toll of, you know, what would the receiver want to do? What would he? How would he run it? Things like that. So I think that's a huge plus to you know, me playing the defensive back.
Former Texas Christian safety Chris Hackett, thank you very much for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
On the clock.
Special thanks to Chris Hackett for taking some time out. Funny thing is about trying to get these one-on-one interviews is they bring them into the media center. You know, the big-name guys go to podiums. The not-so-big-name guys go to tables. I think there's some players who went to tables, probably should have gone to podiums because they drew big crowds. And then when they're done, you're trying to get them. But the thing is, they're a lot of times trying to head off to either national interviews. They have other medical checks they have to do. So it's a very fluid process, so to speak, here at the NFL Scouting Combine. A little, you know, behind-the-curtain action there. So our On the Clock tonight for the final night of the NFL Scouting Combine is going to be a little Who Am I? You know, I asked Fran the other day, we were trying to map out the program, and I said, well, which position groups do you have a better feel on at this point? You know, the defensive backs or the defensive front seven, who we previewed in last night's show, and he said the defensive backs. So I said, you know, I'll give you a little Who Am I for the D-backs.
Okay, I like this. I'm
ready. All right, so first one, he's, I don't know, I don't want to give the height away. I think that would give it away.
Give it away. All right,
would probably
sure.
Give it away.
We'll skip
so
that.
For this prospect. Hails from the state of Louisiana.
Okay.
Your scouting report, lined up to the field, it was the dime linebacker, also lined up as an edge rusher at times, physical, tough, and has an aggressive temperament, a big hitter on the back end. The NFL.com comparison, Jonathan Cyprian, who plays for the Jaguars.
Going off of the report, some of the comments that I wrote on him, I'm going to go with Landon Collins, the safety Alabama.
Very nicely done. The reason I do height, weight, and we were actually talking about this on our walk back from the stadium to the hotel, is that he checked in at 6 feet even, 228 pounds.
Yeah, nearly 230 pounds. That's a big safety.
Big boy there. So the reason I selected him for this is he is the number one prospect in the mock draft tracker as of now, which we will update shortly after the combine when the new slew of mock drafts come out, but that's the reason I picked him there. So our number two guy, we have three total here. Number two, he was a teammate of Melvin Gordon in high school.
Okay.
His height, weight, I'll give you here, 6 feet even, 186 pounds. He lines up at cornerback and plays some reps in the slot. plays mostly press and man and in cover three and cover four as well. Physical corner who knows what he's doing at the line of scrimmage can use his length and disrupts early in the route. The NFL.com comparison by Lance Zierlein is Antonio Cromartie.
Huh. I'm gonna go with Jalen Collins.
That's incorrect. Okay. Great position.
Okay. I'm gonna go next guess. It's 186
pounds. 186
pounds. I don't think that Kevin Johnson quite made it to 186 pounds. I'm gonna go with let's go Lorenzo Doss from Tulane. No. All right, what do you got for me?
Trey Waynes.
Oh, it was Trey Waynes. Okay.
Trey Waynes, yes. He and Melvin Gordon were teammates in high school.
Interesting.
So it's very interesting they both went to the same conference to play against one another. But Trey Waynes, considered by many, you know, the consensus rankings, the number one corner in this year's draft class. So he is also linked to the Eagles in a number of mock drafts. He was the number two pick, believe it or not, or tied for the number two pick. So that's why I went with Trey Waynes there. So our last one here. Played in the ACC, checked in at 6 feet even, 188 pounds. Played to the boundary corner position. When he's low in his pedal, he can flip his hips and turn and run with receivers. Good speed in the open field, aggressive taking on blocks, a bit twitchier. The more you watched, the NFL comparison is Sam Shields.
Is that Kevin Johnson?
That is Kevin Johnson.
That is Kevin Johnson.
Yes.
A guy, you know, like I said, the more I watched him, the more I liked him.
Was that the part of the scouting report that gave it away?
No, that wasn't it. Okay. It was the physical description of him. But you know, the big thing with John, I was pretty disappointed to hear that he wasn't going to the Senior Bowl. I was looking forward to seeing him down there in Mobile, seeing him compete. But unfortunately, he made the decision to bow out. So we'll see him tomorrow for the first time this offseason.
Okay, so we're going to transition now to our last unofficial visit of the evening. It is James Sample, safety from Louisville. A year ago, Louisville had Calvin Pryor go in the first round of the draft, so they had to get two new starting safeties. One of them was Sample, the other was Gerard Holloman, who is also in this year's draft class. Both of them declared early, so I asked James Sample why, and, you know, they'll kind of get a little background on his playing days for Louisville, that and a whole lot more here in our unofficial visit.
The unofficial visit.
We're pleased to be joined here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com by former Louisville safety James Sample. And James, first I want to ask you is, you know, tough decision to leave early. Why did you make it? Because also your teammate in the backfield, Gerard Holloman, also decided to leave school as well.
I left early because when I look at it, I take my stats and compare them to all the other safety stats, and I feel like I'm one of the best safeties in the draft to come out, because if you just take away the names on the back of the jersey and then look at the film and the stats, I'm obviously one of the best.
How much do you enjoy this process, the pre-draft process, because you get to kind of do an apples-to-apples comparison of the other prospects in the draft class?
I like it a lot. You know, it's a grind getting up early and stuff, having all these different type of meetings, but I like it overall.
So you started out, you were a native of California. Mm-hmm. You went to junior college in Washington. What made you decide to go to Louisville?
Just going back. Actually, I went back to California for my JC. I was at the University of Washington.
Okay, so take me through that part. Okay.
At University of Washington, my freshman year, I ended up getting hurt, tearing my labrum in my shoulder and stuff, and then my defensive coaching staff that brought me in got fired, and then the new guys came in, and then like midway through the season, I talked down with the coach, asking him would I be able to compete for the starting job in the spring, because I knew I wasn't gonna play in 2012, and then he said honestly no, you know, and he was saying he's gonna move corners over, bringing up a JUCO guy and an incoming freshman early to play the safety position, so. We just came to agreement that I would lead a team because I didn't have no place.
So you came to Louisville. Mm-hmm. Now, Calvin Pryor was a first-round pick at safety. Both safeties left his team last year. So you and Gerard come in, you're the starting safeties for one season. How quickly were you able to develop that chemistry, and how important is that in that backfield of the defense?
It was real important. I think we got the chemistry together probably like midway through the season. But Gerard helped me out a lot because I got there 2 days before training camp, so I didn't have no spring or summer ball with him. So he was helping me out on the back end because I didn't know all the plays until probably midway through the season. And like, he really helped me out a lot, though.
So how is that work? Where do you guys have a strong relationship off the field as well? Are you guys close friends, and that kind of carries over to the field as well? Or
we good friends, yeah. We talk here and there, text and stuff. So he'll help me out whenever I needed help with something. I asked him, like, because he knew he was one of the dudes on the defense that knew the playbook better than anybody, almost better than Coach Grantham, I say. But yeah.
So last question: what would you prefer? Making the big tackle, the stick tackle there in the box, or taking the interception to the house for a pick six?
I got to get the big hit. I got to lay the wood.
Very nicely done. Louisville, James Sapple, thank you very much for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
All right, it's the final segment of the final podcast here at the NFL Scouting Combine. Here on the Journey to Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
I would shed a tear, but I think my tear ducts are frozen.
It would freeze, and I probably would freeze back in Philadelphia.
That's fair,
as
too.
As well. So, all right. So, our first question tonight. So, basically, we are previewing the defensive back position drill. So, we wanted your questions about the defensive back positions. And the first one comes from wants to know, did anyone check in with some disappointing measurements? And I would say that the defensive backs are critical because the Eagles are looking for tall, long corners, and you know how colleges will inflate the height. So a guy might be listed at 6 foot, 6 foot one, get to the combine, and all of a sudden he's now sub 6 feet.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything too disappointing. I would say surprising, maybe. We talked about Landon Collins. He came in at 230 pounds. That was pretty surprising. Jalen Collins was listed 6'2". He came in at 6'1", even.
Still good height.
So, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, sure, it's not 6'2", but 6'1" is still very good height. This wasn't surprising, but Byron Jones at 6'1", 199 pounds, when he walked into the media room, we talked about it yesterday on the podcast with Lyndon Trail. When he walked into the room, I said, wow, you know, that guy's pretty well put together. A big kid, 6'1", 199 pounds, like I said. He was very surprising to see in person.
And someone who Tully Pauline thought will do or thinks will do very well at the position drills. The next question comes from @KingfishPaz and wants to know your thoughts on player we just interviewed a short time ago on the show, Chris Hackett from Texas Christian.
Yeah, you know, Hackett, I thought had a lot of pub going into, you know, me watching him. And whenever I hear about that, I try not to take it too much into account because I don't want it to cloud my judgment. I really like his ability to play in the deep third. He's got really good athleticism. I think he's got some ability to play in man coverage. Really, that's what you see in this guy as a space player. I think he's got to improve his ability to key and diagnose, run pass at the snap of the football. I'm worried about him a little bit in the run game. I don't think he's awful, but I don't think he's great either. So I think he's got to improve a little bit there as a tackler, being able to run the alley and make a one-on-one stop in space. But his value comes in the pass game, and obviously we know how important that is in today's NFL. I think, you know, you look at a guy like Raheem Moore, who is a free agent, impending free agent for the Denver Broncos. I think Hackett is very similar in a lot of ways to Moore.
All right, the last question here comes from @11_DWall. And want to know about some under-the-radar mid-to-late-round targets, potential targets, for the Eagles?
Oh, well, that's a good question. I mean,
I feel like we've gone through quite – I would actually like at one point to list how many names do we talk about on a podcast.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting. But, you know, one guy, Byron Jones, we just talked about in the last segment, a guy from UConn that I think has some good size. He didn't play in the Senior Bowl because of an injury. I think he's got some intriguing tools that, you know, could allow him to be a good pro. Jacoby Glenn from Central Florida, a redshirt sophomore who declared for the draft, has good size. He's probably the best run defender from the cornerback group. He's definitely one of them. And then Ty Smith, the kid out of Towson, 6 foot, 191 pounds. I thought he had a good week at the East-West Shrine game. I watched him against West Virginia and going up against Kevin White, and I thought he held his own in that game. I asked him about it, and he said, look, you know, I thought that I was very, very prepared. I didn't put in any extra preparation, but I thought that I matched up well against him. He's got that size. I really liked how Smith approaches the game, and I think he's got the skill set to turn into a pretty good pro.
Fran, I think that's going to wrap it up for our time here in Indianapolis.
That's right. It's been a long week, but it was a lot of fun.
So hopefully we got to introduce you to a lot of different prospects, give you some different perspectives, just try to give you as much insight into what's going on with this year's draft class as possible here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. We should be back in the NovaCare Complex for our show Tuesday, if I'm correct.
That's right. So Tuesday night, you're going to expect the audio. And Wednesday morning, the video will be up on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And more importantly, we'll have Bo Wolf back with us. I have no clue what he will have planned for us.
I'm worried about what my office is going to look like when we return.
And as you should be. So at least you know it wasn't me who messed with your Twitter account this time.
That's right. That's a good point. So
for Fran Duffy, I'm Chris McPherson. Thank you all very much for joining us here on this Sunday evening on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA.